You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, a local First Nations tribe in Prince Rupert is lobbying to have a permanent presence near the Civic Center for a sacred fire. During the All-Native Basketball Tournament each year, the Gitxiz tribe hosts a sacred fire across from the entrance to the tournament, and after several years, they have begun the process of making the site permanent with a sacred fire structure to allow for use all year round. Symbia Barnaby is the firekeeper and says efforts are being made to build a permanent site for the fire, which she says many towns and cities across Canada already have. I had the chance to speak with Symbia outside the All Native last week.
My English name or my given name is Symbia Barnaby. My traditional feasted Haida name is Kuka Jung. I come from the Yaqualanis clan. Adopted in from Ulmasset. I also have Mi'kmaq ancestry. And I was asked in from one of the matriarchs from within the Gitxiz tribe. Gitxiz is one of the nine Tsimshian tribes. So from that matriarch, she had asked me in to help with the firekeeping. So we started this is our third year that we've run it. The initial fire started because the Gixen, they were the ones that were going to do the opening ceremonies, and they said that part of their tradition and what we're to follow for protocol is to ask the nation whose territory we're on if they could do the opening. So they also said, hey, we want to do a fire ceremony. Part of our tradition is doing a fire ceremony before we do any kind of big undertaking like this. And then so they had asked me, because I'm friends with their firekeeper, who's also one of their dance members, and I said, I know who the family is, I'll connect you. So they connected in the beginning of that January, so 3 years ago, and then we got them on Zoom together, and they officially asked for permission, they got the blessing, and then they asked about doing the fire. And then the matriarch from this territory, from Gitxiz, said, would you consider holding a fire for the whole week? So then from there, the firekeeper came here to help prepare the family, the hereditary family from the Gitxiz, to start being able to learn how to care for the site and how to, like, what we need to do to run a site. And then last year, we were asked again to help do that firekeeping, so we did it again. And then again this week. So we're here Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to about 7 p.m. We're obviously not going to kick anybody off the site or whatever. And then we've got food, water, snacks. And then if anybody wants a cedar brushing, if they want to smudge, if they want somebody to pray with or just to sit with them, we've just, you know, holding that space for people. And we're not trying to be in competition with what's happening, you know, in the Civic Center. We're trying to do it as complementary to what they're able to do there. So, yeah.
And this usually coincides with the All-Native Basketball Term, is that right?
Yeah. So, yes, the work that we're doing right now for this week is coinciding with the All-Native Basketball Tournament. So everyone's coming here in community. We know with that influx of people in our community, we're trying to hold space, right? And you're every single Indigenous person that you know is impacted by some form of trauma, right? So either compound trauma, intergenerational trauma, lateral violence, and we're doing our best to hold space for people. The root of why we're doing this in the first place, like that permission was extended to the Gixen, but the matriarch, she had said it, her vision is to see us have a permanent spot here to be able to hold space for people who are residential school survivors, who are family members of missing and murdered Indigenous women, people from 60s Scoop, you know, Millennial Scoop. So being able to give our people here an avenue for healing.
Yeah, maybe tell me a little about the sacred fire itself and the firekeepers. Obviously, this is something that has a lot of connection, a lot of tradition to it. But what is the sacred fire for, and what are you hoping in terms of the long-term position of having a sacred fire here right across from the Jim Ciccone Civic Center? What are you hoping to do with this? Why is it sacred?
So through many different things within the Canadian government, BC government, different acts that happened through the Indian Act, through the banning of our ceremonies, we're disconnected, right, from ways that helped keep us well. And part of that is being able to do fire ceremonies, right? So if you look at the banning of potlatches, which is one of the things that happened along this coast with the West Coast, or people on the West Coast of what we currently refer to as British Columbia, we potlatched, right? People had feasts in longhouses. There were fires that were in those spaces, and business was conducted. Rites of passage, you know, marriages, honoring people in death, and then ceremony. And those all happened with fire. To us, we understand that it accelerates. Fire is a prayer amplifier, so it accelerates people's healing. So when you remove us from that setting and those tools, and then you have generations that pass that don't have that as part of their teachings, then you lose out on ways to help them heal, right? And then you add colonization and all the tools that were used, like systemic racism, a land dispossession, and all those things, right? So by being able to reclaim this fire, it's giving us an opportunity to help our community members heal, right? We understand as fire keepers, there's sacred teachings that we hold. And part of that is we understand how energy works, right? Energy can't be created. It can't be destroyed. It can only be transferred, transformed, or transmuted. That's called the law of thermodynamics, if you want to look it up. But we understand that when somebody gets hurt or harmed through state violence, and then it gets transferred to them, then they turn around and transfer it to their children or laterally to those of their peers. So then they're carrying that intergenerational trauma, right? And then at a fire, it amplifies prayers. So when people come, they can get cedar brushed. That cedar brushing helps to clear that energy from them. That fire, when we're praying with that fire, it's amplifying that energy, right? And it helps that clearing, cleansing helps to transform the energy. So from pain into power and purpose.
Sumbia, just the last thing for you. You know, as you mentioned, you're trying to get a permanent location for the fire. What does that look like, and who do you need to go through? Obviously, we're also here in the city of Prince Rupert. Who do you need to go through, and what permissions do you need to get to make this a permanent fire here at this location?
Yeah. So as Indigenous people, through the United Nations Declarations on the Rights of Indigenous People, we have a protected right to practice our ceremonies, right? So that's, you know, part of the like, if you're going to look on an international scale, that's permission. That's observing our rights, and that's a record of our rights. The City of Prince Rupert City Council, we've approached them already last year through our City Council, and did a presentation to them to show the value about what we're doing. And we've also, it's because we're being directed by the matriarch within the Gitxis tribe, right? So it's her that's the ultimate, you know, one that grants it, and that's directing the work that we're doing. And then we have to work alongside the city. And then we've also, you know, been approached by Tourism Prince Rupert, other people that might be able to help, you know, contribute to it, because they know and understand the value of what we're doing, right? Right now, they're not a society. They're not trying to be a society or an association or a nonprofit. They're hereditary family, right? So there's some kind of, there's a little bit of a friction about how does this get paid for, right? Because if we're talking about the City of Prince Rupert, they're operating with the laws that they understand, which is property law. We're dealing under ancestral matriarchal law, and that's the laws that we understand, and natural law, right? So those are the two things, those are the different laws that we're trying to operate within. It's been a huge undertaking to meet with the city and to teach them about what our rights are as Indigenous people, and then also about the fire. And now, you know, they've started to slowly come alongside of us. They were able to start making an agreement that we could book with them. We still have to hold liability insurance. We have a $5 million liability insurance for the site. So there's a lot of logistics in a Western sense, to try to make it a safe space for people. So there's a lot of hoops that we're still jumping through to be able to hold us here. And then we've put it out to the community if they want to contribute. If you look over here on, you know, behind me, there's fruit, water, you know, all that coffee, soup, that anything that gets given to us is just going right back out again.
In an ideal situation, obviously, you know, it's a bit of a challenge to, as you mentioned, to jump through these hoops. In an ideal situation, I even see a sign here, the firewood drop-off with the town of or city of Prince Rupert emblem on it. But in an ideal situation, how would you like to see this? Would you just like to see this fire in particular here right now just continue? What would you like to see in an ideal scenario?
So I'll just share, because what was given to me was the directions right from that, our matriarch. Her English name is Isabel Stewart. Her traditional name is Najis Ochnath. She said she wants to see a permanent structure here. I have a picture I've shared with the city and with our rec department so they have an idea of what we're looking for. What has been suggested is an open concept, and that not just the Gitsis are able to conduct sacred fires, that other nations, when they're here, they ask that permission and that blessing, and then they're open to being able to have that, to do their own fires here. So, you know, if we waved a magic wand, we'd have a permanent structure here. They've also talked about having like a community smokehouse, and being able to do like programming for youth. So like a youth culture camp, you know, in partnership with the rec department and elders and community members that are Tsimshian from this area. And then to be able to have a place where we could put our firewood. Because right now what the trouble has been is that when we're done, we have to pick up our stones, we have to pick up our wood, and we have to clear the whole entire site off. My mother and I came yesterday morning, and we were packing all the stuff down, and it's a lot of work to reestablish a site again. We have to put medicine down, we have to pray over the site again. And when we have an established site like that, we understand all the prayer work that we put into it gets to stay in that space. Yeah, yeah.
Cynthia, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad that our voices are getting heard in more spaces. And, you know, my background's in nursing, right? So I come from a healthcare background, and I've seen what we've been capable with Northern Health. And also there's all those doctors that have left, you know, and there's a lot of mental health issues that, you know, people are dealing with in community. Water stuff going on, doctor shortages. I think that this is, you know, not only a way for us for healing, but it's also for that reclamation of tradition, you know, ancestral matriarchal law, like that governance structure that we knew that exists. It's existing shakily right now, right? And they're doing their best to reclaim their placements within that feast hall. But if you don't have a feast hall here, or if you don't have a longhouse here, or if you don't have, you know, somewhere to conduct ceremony, what do you have for that structure, right? So, yeah. Thank you.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.